What is up? Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
All right. We got two games to cover here. Preseason games. We got on here 2 weeks ago, and the Pats were coming off that terrible opening game of the preseason, and we were all naysayers. We're all like, I can't believe the Redskins marched up and down the field against them, and yep. I can't believe they couldn't stop them. They couldn't get anything going on offense, despite Brady not playing. And then these last two games, we've seen a bit of a turnaround, especially yep. that first game against the Eagles. I mean, we could just jump right into it. Adrian Claiborne is going to be a goddamn player.
Adrian Claiborne looks like a player. A lot of that D-line looks pretty solid. And we were kind of had hopes for that, you know, before this game. Claiborne, Trey Flowers hasn't played, but we know what kind of player he is, as we've said. Then you've also got Dietrich Wise looked a lot better. And then Derek Rivers looks huge out there. He looks like a player.
Yeah, he looks like a real good player. And he had the only quarterback hit, though. The pass rush slowed down this past week against the Panthers in Game 3. Mm-hmm. But Derek Rivers was the only one to reach the quarterback and record a hit. So he's getting time. It seems like they're going to have a pretty good rotation on that defensive line. That's the brightest spot for me. That and the offensive line. I feel like the offensive line has played totally fine.
Yeah, they look pretty good. Trent Brown there at left tackle. We just signed, big news, we signed Shaq Mason today for a five-year, $50 million extension.
Booyah, Shaq getting paid.
Did you not know that?
I didn't know that. This is news to me. I thought for sure he was going to hit the market.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about like 13, 14, 50 for 15 for him in the open market, and he signed for 5 years, $10 million, which is a lot, but for a really good guard, I mean, that's pretty good 10 deal. Ten per year. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's great. Good for him. The thing that just worries me about that is, remember what happened in the Super Bowl? He's the one that got victimized.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
They slid Brandon Graham in, and he beat Shaq Mason for a strip sack. Derek Barnett came out with the ball, and that was the difference. Yeah, but he is.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a really good player. He's not perfect, as anybody is, but he got seriously paid. Good for him. Yeah.
Maybe they're seeing – this is his third year, fourth year?
This is his fourth year. This is last year on his rookie deal.
So maybe they're seeing more strides from him.
Yeah. Well, he was already a borderline Pro Bowl player.
Right.
Last year. And for whatever reason, positions that don't have stats take a while to gain your reputation, and then you're like a perennial Pro Bowler.
Right.
It takes a little bit, especially for offensive linemen, defensive tackles. We saw Vince Wilfork really didn't get his due until he had been in his prime for like 3-4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes a while, and Shaq Mason was probably one of the best guards in the league last year, top 10 guard in the league. Mm-hmm. So as he continues to progress, yeah, he's gonna be worth that deal. Especially, you don't need to be a first round guard to be that good. You see this with Andrew Norwell, that dude who left the Panthers to go to the Jaguars and got paid dough. He got paid like $60 million to go to the Jaguars, and he was fourth, fifth, sixth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about your pedigree. And Shaq comes out as a fourth round pick, guy who didn't play in the most advanced offense in college, and he's turned into quite the player. It's great when they take a couple swings like that in the fourth round. They drafted Trey Jackson,
yep.
a guard out of Florida State, and then they got Shaq in the same fourth round. And it's just a couple swings, a couple rolls of the dice, and one of them worked out.
Yep.
And if you were laying bets when they got drafted, a lot of people would have taken Trey Jackson, the better player, because he came out of a more advanced system. He had played more games. He didn't have the size limitations that Shaq has. Man, it's really a testament to where he's come. Good for him. I'm glad.
You got this, him.
This is my reaction.
There you go. So we got that. Marcus Cannon came back to practice today, along with Sony Michel, which is good news for the offensive line in general and the running game.
Hell yeah. Waddle hasn't been bad at right tackle.
Yeah, he's looking like he's doing
seen from Waddle.
A lot better.
And he played left tackle at times last year, filling in for Solder. So we have a pretty good third swing tackle. It seems mm-hmm. like.
Yeah.
And we got two mammoths starting at tackle. What's your nickname for Trent Brown?
Tortoise.
The tortoise.
Looks like a tortoise.
Take a look, people, next time you see him on the sideline. Big old tortoise.
Looks like a tortoise.
Straight out of Galapagos.
Yep. Running game, Jeremy Hill looked pretty good in the last two games. He's kind of fizzled a lot.
I know.
Gillislee really hasn't done anything. James White looked excellent in the second game.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, looked like one of the better players on the field. He was doing, not only in the receiving game, but running the ball, he was getting chunks of yardage.
He's a good player. Everybody knows that. For whatever reason, it seemed like last year he really didn't get used very much.
Yeah.
Expect more of that this year. We still haven't seen Rex Burkhead, right?
No. And they said they're really saving him because he's going to be used as a focal point of the offense.
He is? Rex Burkhead?
There was a report about that. I don't know how that's true, but yes.
Okay. And then you got to mix Sony Michel in too?
Yep.
Yeah, the thing with Gillislee and Jeremy Hill, you would think one of them's going to make the team, but almost neither of them looks worth keeping at this point.
I don't think either of them are going to make the team, and they have other quality depth at other places.
Because neither of those guys play special teams. Actually, Gillislee might play a little special teams.
Like, I'd rather keep more. An extra D tackle or D end or cornerback or get another receiver from somewhere.
Oh, my God, yeah, just keep another receiver. Let's just dive into that. It's a bit of a mess.
This is the biggest story by far of what's going on.
They can't get anybody to stick.
They can't. So we've cut Malcolm Mitchell. We've cut Kenny Britt. We let Jordan Matthews go. We also just released Eric Decker because he looks like a shell of his former self.
He retired.
He retired, but apparently, most likely, they were like, yeah, you're probably not going to make the team.
So yeah, otherwise he wouldn't have retired.
Exactly. So he wasn't going to make the team, retired, so he's gone. So there's four of the guys that you needed at least one to stick.
Yeah, and you got
nothing. And they were all gone. And you're all gone. So now, for the first four games, our receiving core is looking like Chris Hogan,
Philip Dorsett,
and Cordarrelle Patterson.
The good news is Cordarrelle looks okay.
Cordarrelle looks like as a third or fourth or trick receiver, he can do it. He's give a little spice in there every so often. Not a viable number one or number two option by any means.
He's a guy that'll be on for one series each quarter, and each series he'll have one design play for him.
Probably.
That's how I see it.
Right.
Which means wide receiver screen, a reverse, some sort of trick play.
And maybe he gains some kind of a momentum where he starts being more part of the offense, but I don't foresee that based on what we've seen so far. He's not even returning kicks. Yeah, it's not been ridiculous.
Cyrus Jones is returning kicks. I thought Cordarrelle Patterson was brought in to be a primary kick returner. Maybe that'll change, especially because who knows if Cyrus Jones is going to make this team.
Mm-hmm. So then there's also Philip Dorsett, who we've been hoping to do pretty good. The second game, he didn't show much. The third game, he had four or five balls thrown home. He caught all of them, used his hands. They weren't all bombs, so they were, mid-grade catches, which was pretty good. But there's one thing that Troy Brown said that was right. There was a catch he had, and he had more space to run, and he went down.
Oh.
Which, not great, but so, okay, there you go. The guy can catch.
Yeah.
He can run routes and catch, which isn't bad.
Especially with his athleticism. That's what you need.
That's what you need. But when you look at those three guys for your first four games, you're like, we need something else.
Oh, definitely need something else.
That is not going to cut it. By any means.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm encouraged with what I see out of Dorsett and Cordarrelle Patterson, but you pretty much have Chris Hogan as a number three receiver, and Patterson, Dorsett are 4 and 5 option, and you're just missing a top two receivers. Now, Gronkowski is a one. He's a true one.
Yep.
And Edelman's a good number two option, but for the first month, it's just a wide open opportunity for somebody to fill that role. And you look at the depth chart, and you're like, is it Devin Lucien? He's stuck on the preseason roster for like 3 years now. Hasn't really progressed much. I don't even know who else. That kid Riley McCarron, Braxton Berrios, it's kind of end-of-the-line roster guys. There's just nothing to see there, which leads you to wonder who else is available.
Are they going to go get someone?
Yeah, who do you got in mind? You spent all of last week trying to convince me that Dez Bryant's a good idea.
I was thinking maybe Dez Bryant, but they haven't bid on him yet. I mean, he'd be cheap. He'd probably come play for next to nothing, right?
It's not about the money. It's about, is he going to wreck the culture of the team?
They haven't really let that. They've tried that stuff out, and it's never really bit him that hard in the ass.
With who?
Albert Haynesworth.
Oh,
Corey Dillon. Randy Moss. Chad Ochocinco. There's a lot of people that were toxic in other locker rooms and came here and weren't bad. I mean, I get the most toxic player I can think that actually had an impact was probably Adalius Thomas like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When he started talking about contracts and how much money and blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing, and they didn't like that. But, I mean, they didn't – nobody expected that from him. So
– I don't know. Dez is limited in the same way that Eric Decker is limited.
Yeah, but he's got way more to offer than Decker.
But he's – yeah.
I have to believe.
He's clearly better.
Yeah, I have to believe that.
Why is it almost September? We're 4 days away from September, and he's still unsigned. Right.
That's also an issue.
That's the question.
I mean, it's really got to come down to a trade.
A trade, or if somebody just gets bounced.
Yeah, if someone gets
from
cut.
From another roster. Doesn't make final cuts somewhere else.
Some
team that's got a logjam. You never know with the Steelers. Is Eli Rogers going to make that team? I love Eli.
Yeah.
It took them forever to bring him back, too. But I would love for somebody like that to just hit the market. We scoop him up. There's always somebody late that comes in.
There usually is.
It's usually mid-season.
But we need it now.
We need it ASAP.
I mean, if you look at those first four, and, you know, for Chris Hogan, he's a good player, but now he's going against the number one cornerback.
Yeah.
Is he going to get any separation from whoever's on Houston right now or when we play Jacksonville? Isn't Jacksonville pretty early? What's his name? Their cornerback, Jaden?
Jaden Ramsey? Jaden Ramsey, he's a talker.
Ooh-wee. He will kill Chris Hogan. Him. He would
yeah,
kill
obviously.
Chris Hogan.
He would kill Chris Edelman. Hogan. He's fine. We're not going to throw at Jalen Ramsey. Just look back in the playoffs. We didn't.
That's true. Yeah, we throw at him a little bit.
It doesn't matter who he's going up against. We're not throwing.
Regardless, Chris Hogan can't be a number one cornerback.
Yeah,
decent number one cornerback.
First and four neither... games of the year, Texans, Jaguars, Lions, Dolphins.
Okay, so the Texans and Jaguars have very good cornerbacks.
Very good corners, yeah. We're screwed.
So you want to put Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett up against those two? You're not throwing two receivers.
I know, right? And even against those teams that have athletic linebackers, they're going to be able to cover up James White, Rex Burkhead, Sony Michel. Those are tough matchups. And so something's got to break.
We need
break our way in the passing game.
We need like the fact that the Kenny Britt thing didn't work out. Like everyone was like, oh yeah, he's the one they're hoping works out the most. And they just cut him. Gone. See you later.
Maybe he was injured. He had a tough time getting off the field.
True.
He was another guy that had problems in the locker room that didn't hear and was here for a while.
Exactly.
8 months, something like that. Yeah. You never know. But they need to figure something out. And even after the first 4 weeks, is that still enough?
Right.
Is Jacob Hollister as your number two tight end and potentially your fourth option? Is that a good? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
there's not much depth. It's like you need Julian Edelman to perform like he did in 2014.
Which you don't know if is that going to happen.
Exactly.
Right. And then there's also the stat where between Edelman and Gronk, they've only had one season where they're both been healthy for the whole season. So if you count one of them out, you are fucked.
Yeah, you're SOL.
So they got to figure that one out.
Yeah, I don't know what the best option is going to be, but It helps that they can lean a bit more in the running game, especially if Rex Burkhead performs the way they want him to.
Absolutely, and they do have some decent cap room.
For right now, to sign who?
I mean, I'm saying they could sign some guy like a $5 or $8 million receiver. Like they could make that work.
Like who?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure there's guys out there.
Talk about this season.
I don't really have anyone in mind particularly.
Yeah,
but there's maybe, guys.
You never know. There could be some serious cap casualty. Somebody that's not performing. To maybe somebody's making $10 million somewhere and they don't think he's worth that much. We scoop him up for
right.
But going back to the defense, the defensive line looks pretty good. We talked about that. Solid depth. The athleticism of the linebackers, still an issue. I know I like what we're seeing out of Juwan Bentley at middle linebacker. And I think he brings you a little bit more than Atlanta Roberts, but he's still got heavy. He's still going to get beat in the passing game.
And he's young. He's a rookie. He didn't play it. He wasn't like he was an Alabama linebacker who's like can walk into the NFL. I mean, he looks pretty good, but yeah, he's not polished enough or fast enough yet. And probably doesn't have the scheme down, but it's definitely promising. I love him way better than Roberts, definitely.
Oh, big time, big time. And it seems like we just know what Roberts is at this point. There was a point in time when Roberts was kind of like Juwan Bentley, where we're like, ooh, this kid can make some plays. I don't know where he's going to be 3 years from now. Well, now right. It's 3 years from now.
And
we're looking at
Landon
Roberts, and we're like, you're a short yardage goal line player. That's pretty much what I see. And I don't know if that's worth keeping him on the roster for a guy that doesn't play special teams.
Right.
When you got an option that fills pretty much your role plus upside.
Yeah.
So I'd say just go with Juwan.
Definitely. Maybe give Christian Sam a chance over...
Over who?
Roberts.
Over Roberts? Oh, yeah. To make the roster, yeah, for sure. Because Sam's built to play specialty. Kid's like 6'3", 235, 240 with wheels. He's just built to play punt return.
Maybe they can turn him into some kind of coverage linebacker.
Perhaps, yeah. But he might just end up being a Marquise Flowers type player. Marquise Flowers, I liked him on defense last year.
Haven't seen him.
I know. He can't get any time there. He cannot buy time on defense. I don't get it.
Which is not good.
And you just see Kyle Van Noy bumbling his way around the field still.
Yeah.
I don't hate him that much, but he should be so much better than he is.
I mean, if he was our worst player on defense, it wouldn't be that bad. But he's not. There's someone worse than him.
Who is who? Roberts?
Who is whoever our third linebacker is.
Yeah. Well, we don't play three linebackers that often. So
we're
kind of splitting hairs here. On the defensive backfield, Stephon Gilmore continues to be up and down. A lot of people knew pass. It's like he throws darts when, as soon as you turn your head to flip your shoulders, it's in the air and then it's on the receiver before you could turn back. He's good. It's preseason. Give the guy a goddamn break. But then it seems more likely now that Eric Rowe is going to be your number two cornerback on the outside. Jonathan Jones is going to be your interior guy. And I don't know where Jason McCourty's role is.
Well,
I don't know. Is he going to be an interior, like a safety kind of guy who's going to be in when tight ends are in?
They did put him at safety for the second half of the game, some of the second half. And then in the first half, he was switching off with Rowe. So, and I listened to Belichick talk about him. He's very smart football player and this, that, and the other thing. So, based on his tone, it seemed like he definitely liked him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, you're a backup depth corner guy and possibly a backup depth safety, and then you get rid of Richards.
That's always your plan. Get rid of Richards and then move on from there.
Yeah.
Maybe McCourty is more of just a utility guy on the back end in case somebody goes down
or
in
Which
case
is
somebody's
fine.
Not playing well. That's fine if he's okay with that role. And then this is the thing, is if you have an unhappy Jason McCourty, what does Devin McCourty do about that? Do you now have
Jason McCourty was just on the 0-16 or 1-15 Browns, whatever the hell they went. I'm sure 0-16. I'm sure he's very happy that he's going to be on a winning team with his brother, and he's probably like, "Yeah, it's better than last year, whether I'm playing a lot or not."
Okay, glass half full, right there.
I mean, yeah,
I hear you. I wonder how that part will work out, where McCourty will fit Jason. But does Cyrus Jones make this team? Mm-hmm. Cyrus Jones, former second-round pick. Was that the same year as Jordan Richards? I think he might have been the year before. But Cyrus has had just an up-and-down rough go in the NFL. Got hurt right off the bat. Then he had fumbleitis. And then I think he got hurt again last year as soon as he was starting to turn it around. So I don't know. He was a promising player. But unless he can wrestle those return duties away from Cordarrelle Patterson, I just don't see it.
Yeah. Yep. I know.
For him. But your boy J.C. Jackson played really well against the Panthers. Oh, that's what I wanted to bring up. J.C. Jackson looks like he's going to be that under-the-radar dude that makes the team.
Yep.
And could contribute if they need him to. But what was I thinking? Oh, at cornerback, we saw this perfectly in the Eagles game. Jason McCourty got beat on a Z out badly for a touchdown.
Badly.
It was gross. And then we saw the exact same route from the Panthers against Gilmore. And Gilmore bodied the guy up, beat him to the spot, and swatted the ball away. It's just like, there's the difference.
Yeah.
There it is, right there. Goal line Z out. They was trying to run that Edelman route from the Seahawks. And you just see one guy that still has it and one guy that didn't look like he does anymore.
Yep, 100%.
Like right now, I don't trust him in one-on-one, man-to-man situations like that. Third and short. Fourth and short, goal line, those type of spots where I would feel better about, I can't believe I'm saying this, feel better about Eric Rowe lining up there.
I don't know, man. Rowe got roasted.
I know, it's hard. But you got to put somebody up there.
I guess not that bad when you go back and watch it, but it looked bad at the time.
Who's your surprise cut? Seems like every year there's a surprise cut.
One of the deep tackles.
You think it's like Danny Shelton?
No.
No?
I think it's Vincent Valentine or Adam Butler, which both guys I would think should make it.
Dude, that doesn't even qualify as a surprise cut.
Like an actual surprise cut?
Yeah, actual surprise cut. A guy that's not on the bubble getting axed. Like a Kyle Van Noy would be a surprise cut.
Yeah, no one.
Jason McCourty would be a surprise cut.
I don't think anyone.
Dwayne Allen?
Is he a surprise cut?
He's going to stick around, I'm telling you.
I think so. I mean, I would love for him to get cut, but I don't think he's a surprise. If he gets cut, I'd be like, good riddance.
There has been no indication that he's gone.
There's been no... He's barely even played.
I know, but there's not even talk about getting
rid of him. What is his role there? What is he, like, doing their taxes or something? They can't get rid of him? I don't understand. Why is he even on the fucking team?
Can't James Devlin do what Dwayne Allen does? Can't he basically do the same thing?
Probably, or we used to just use our backup tackle to do that.
Yeah, true.
Why even put him in?
I don't know if Lazier and Waddle's athletic enough to play on the outside the way Solder did.
But we have that big other blocking tight end. Will Tye looks better than fucking...
They tried to throw that fade to Will Tye in the Panthers game. He just couldn't quite get there. He was close, but it was good coverage. Brady looks good. Brady looks fine.
Brady looks phenomenal. Totally fine. He looks the same way. His vision down the field is great. His vision around the, you know, when he's in the pocket is phenomenal with avoiding people. We just need to get the guy another one or two weapons, or another legit weapon, and we'd be fine.
Dez Bryant's the type of guy that you could put him on the outside one-on-one, and he could body somebody out.
Right.
Like, he can still do that.
That's kind of what you need.
Right? I don't know.
That's what I'm getting at. We don't need... I mean, we're not going to find a Julio Jones or anyone fucking ridiculous. We need...
It'd be nice if they traded for Corey Coleman when he was on the market for a conditional seventh-round pick.
Where'd he go?
The Jets, right?
I don't know.
From the Browns, former...
Oh, that's right. He's pretty good.
I gave him a first-round grade. Heck of a talent. He's almost the same exact skill set as Philip Dorsett, better downfield
receiver. But we just, you give the guy a legit number two receiver who has to work a little hard in the first couple weeks, and that's fine. That's what we need.
You're not going to get a legit number two receiver? Okay.
Number two.
I thought you said number seven.
No, like number two receiver, like, I don't know who. I mean, I've kind of been looking, and I really don't know what we'd have to give up to get any of these guys, but we need something. Because if Bill thinks we can go in with Dorsett and Chris Hogan, like, think of Chris Hogan where he was before the Pats. He was like a number three or four receiver.
Yeah, which is where he belongs.
Yeah.
That's a reason he's making $5 million a year. That's it. You should be number three.
That's a lot of money.
It's
for number like, three. That's yeah, like that's number two money.
Okay. It's as much as Edelman was making as a number one. Right. The where do you think the Pats are going to rank defensively?
This is what I
was thinking about, because I like the front. I like the back end. Underratedly, I like it. Especially with all... They could put four guys out there that could all be called safeties.
Yeah.
And play well with that lineup. So I think they're a top 10 defense, scoring-wise. They're never going to be that way yardage.
Yeah, I think you're definitely going to be more aggressive up front with Flores' new defense. I mean, I don't see why they couldn't be top 10. I mean, they have a lot of talent.
Were they number one last year, or was that 2 years ago?
Scoring D?
Yeah.
They were up there. Yeah, 2 years ago, they were always pretty good.
2 years ago, they were number one, but they were top 10 last year.
Yeah.
And that was not the best unit with a lot of injuries on it. Yeah, I'm really not that worried about the defense. It's normal that we expect them to put up 30 points offensively, and right now it doesn't look that way.
Well, I'm not going to say the first couple games, I mean, they were playing good defenses, but they could maybe do that. It's just a matter when someone's like, oh, they're just doing this with the running back, and that's why it's successful. Well, shut down the running back. It's when teams, if a team pulls a Bill Belichick on us, if they go, oh, let them make us beat, you know, what the Patriots do. Okay, well, they throw to their, they have two great receivers. Let's make them beat us with their running backs, or let's make them beat us with their tight ends. Shut everything down you can and make them beat you at your worst, basically.
Yeah.
And if a team does that to us, they're like, oh, let's just give them the receivers. Let's put our best players on Gronk and then the running back and see if they can beat us with their receivers. We won't win.
Did it scare you to see Gronk on the field?
A little bit.
When I saw him out there, I was like, what is he doing? Get him off.
A little bit.
Don't touch him.
Yeah, don't throw him the ball.
Do not touch him.
But that's my point. Like, if somebody invests in shutting down Gronk, in the first 4 weeks, what the fuck are we going to beat them with? And, like, shutting down Gronk is definitely a tall task, but if they do high and low, if they do double coverage high-low.
Running backs, that's really it. That's all that's left. That's the only other thing we can do.
If we need someone who can beat man-on-man coverage.
James White can.
No, I mean a receiver.
Yeah.
Because we don't have it.
Philip Dorsett's fast enough. He's not there yet.
It's not even... It's like, is he going to be able to perform that way? Like, he's never had over 400 or 500 yards. Is he going to be able to be a 900-yard guy? Probably not. Or even a 700-yard guy.
We just need him to be a 60-yard guy per game for 4 games. That's it.
What if Hogan got hurt for most of the last season? Edelman was gone all season. Those are the guys we're putting our stock into. Combined 8 games between the two of them.
All right. Enough with the negativity.
Just saying.
I know. It's worrisome.
It's a glaring issue. They were loving it on talk radio today. They're like, who do you go get? They're trying to come up with guys. Golden Tate, I think, is who they came up with.
Is he on the block?
No, I have no idea. But they were like, he can maybe, you know, you have the bunch of Patriots guys over there. Maybe he can swing a deal.
They're just making stuff up.
What I think is the 49ers should just give us a receiver for free because they're so happy with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Are they still that happy?
No, I don't know. He hasn't looked that great. I saw him last night. He looked okay.
Vince,
what?
You don't always get the same guy when you pay him $125 million before and after.
Oh, my God. I know.
He made, what, 2 in his first 4 years in the league? And then you just plop down a check for $125 on him? I know he doesn't see it all up front, but he must have made $25 up front.
Easily.
It's like, that's a different dude now.
100%. You don't know how he's going to react to that. I mean, Garoppolo, I don't know.
I'm looking forward to watching him.
I am too. He looks small out there. He looks like he's going to get killed.
He's built up. He's fine.
I don't know, man.
He's built up.
Separated his shoulder in six quarters of football.
Yeah, and then he came back the next year and played 7 games, right? 6 games?
6 games.
6 games, started all of them, won all of them. Done.
It was pretty the Niners.
Yeah, I know, right?
It was pretty good.
This is why they play the games, because we're going to find out how they are. The other guys I want to see, I've talked about this before, Patrick Mahomes. Can't wait to see what that dude does.
Yep, he'll be exciting.
Do you see, what's his face, their speed receiver there, said that they're going to be the best offense in the NFL? Tyreek Hill said that.
Tyreek Hill? Yeah, we've heard that shit before from players like that.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, with what?
With a first-year quarterback who's played 1 game? One game. He's got Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and Travis Kelce. Best offense in the NFL.
And Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, they got weapons. They've got weapons. But is that dude ready? This is why you got to watch.
Exactly.
Plus, he's dripping with talent. Patrick Mahomes.
Dripping.
Yeah, take that one home. Do you see Lamar Jackson tearing it up for Baltimore?
No.
Yeah.
He's playing well.
He's playing pretty well.
Even Sam Darnold, I've heard decent things. The Jets.
I was talking with a Jets fan just this weekend who told me Jets to the Super Bowl because of Darnold.
Yeah, I know. It's like, guys,
out of here.
Give me a break. That's what people are saying. The Jets fans are like, best quarterback ever. It's like, give me a break, guys. Like, he's going to hit the rookie. Even if he plays well, he's going to hit a rookie wall and everything's going to come undone. Has a rookie ever won the Super Bowl? No.
No.
Maybe in like the 50s.
Yeah, maybe.
Ball or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Brady made it in his second year. First year starting.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Warner was in his third year in the NFL, I want to say, after a couple training camps that didn't work out. Ben Roethlisberger, that was the big one. They went 15-1 his rookie year and then lost to the Pats in the championship game, AFC championship.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think anybody's made it and won it as a rookie. Dan Marino went his second year. Yeah, tall task.
Not happening.
Have you been watching Hard Knocks at all? I've been meaning
no,
to catch up on that.
I don't partake.
You don't partake? I want to see who... Jarvis Landry just seems like he's always behind a podium.
Yeah, but
he's just always...
A few of my friends have been saying that. Like, we could... Like, let's trade for someone like him.
What?
I know they wouldn't get rid of him.
Yeah. Clearly, they're not going to get rid of him. They just built... He's the face of their team right now. I think Hugh Jackson is trying to do this so people forget who he is. So he just puts Jarvis Landry out there in front and don't realize that Hugh Jackson's 2-30 as a head coach. No, 1-31.
1-31
as a head coach.
It's as bad as
it gets. For the Browns. I know he had some time with the Raiders. I don't know.
But, yeah.
Coming up this week, the Pats are playing the Giants, as always, to wrap up preseason. Be able to see a couple more positional battles, end of the roster type guys. We'll see which tight end might be able to stick. Can Dwayne Allen get on the field? Will Ty overtake him?
Well, just Brady's like, not playing, right? You know that Brady gets any time?
He might.
He never plays in this game, but he might get a drive or two.
I feel like I've seen him play one or two drives in this game previously, and it seems like with the lack of joint practice, they like throwing people out there, getting some time.
Yeah.
When's the last time you saw Gronkowski play preseason?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. No joint practices. There's
your answer. 2 years, probably 2 years. Oh, man, receiver, man. Fucking receiver.
Yeah, maybe they'll just keep a bunch of tight ends. Will Ty's got some talent.
Yeah, he's not bad.
He can separate a little bit, but he dropped a bad pass against the Eagles right in his gut.
Yep.
Who knows? We will we'll be back after this preseason game. We'll be around to talk about final cuts. I think there's going to be a surprise. There's always a surprise.
Well, you didn't say who your surprise is.
I know, because I was hoping you were going to give me a good idea.
Yeah. No, I don't really think there's any.
It's usually tied into how much money they're making also.
I mean, so it would all point towards Dwayne Allen, but I don't think he's a surprise cut. Like, at this point, I don't know why he's on the team.
Right.
So like, to me, Atlanta that's not Roberts, a surprise cut.
Atlanta Roberts would be a bit of a, I think. He's getting a lot of playing time in the preseason. He's starting every game. Actually, Juwan Bentley, but I think he would be a surprise one. I'm going to go with that. How about that?
It's not really like,
it's a little,
it's not really like a shocking one.
It's not shocking. They're not always shocking. Tommy Kelly, remember when he got cut? It was like, oh, I'm surprised. But it wasn't like Logan Mankins got traded.
I forgot about Tommy Kelly.
Tommy Kelly, what a name. Bring it back, D-tackle. All right, folks, thank you for listening. We'll be back in about a week to go over final cuts and preview the start of the goddamn season. Can you believe
Woo!
It?
Right Do around it.
The corner. All right, we'll talk to you later. See ya.
Peace.